VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's a very special Saturday morning on the First Coast. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are doing quite a few things today aside from this show. We're celebrating the almost Mother's Day for that weekend. And, of course, it's TPC time, which us old folks call it, otherwise known as the Players Championship out at Sawgrass. So a lot of people in town, a lot of them from other places. For many people, it's the first time. And, you know, Jacksonville's always in a hurry on the roads around here because it's so far from point A to point B. But give them a break. I remember I was thinking about this driving in on Butler today, exactly a year ago today, driving in. The first thing I saw, which was around Kernan, was a three or four car pile up on the side of the road. And then up another couple of lights close to Costco, there was an upside down car. And it had out of state license plates on it. Now, I don't want to see that. And I didn't. Let's be a little safe out there, okay? It's easy to have a good time. Everybody's in a good mood, all that. So just take it a little easy and let them spend their money and leave, and they'll come back next year and do the same thing. All right, well, that said, it was another interesting week in almost every arena that you could possibly imagine, and that certainly included the market. But before we delve into it, I want to remind everybody, as I always do at this time, that not all financial programs are created equal. This one is live. We are here in the studio. The lines are open always, 904-222-8255. So if you're a local and a steady listener, thanks for coming back. If you're driving by, stick around until you find the parking lot out there and listen. Maybe you'll pick up something that'll be helpful. So give us a chance to tell us what, or tell you what we want to talk about, but give us a chance to answer your questions. If you want to control the content, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call. This week in the market, I thought it felt bad.
It did feel bad.
And it came out not as bad as it felt.
No, it really wasn't. The NASDAQ actually rose this week, which kind of surprised me when I was putting together my notes for the show.
Yeah, I was shocked too, frankly.
It was the only of the three major indexes to rise, but it went up 0.3%. The Dow drifted down 0.5%. The S&P down 0.3%. So all in all, pretty calm week. There was some intraday volatility, I guess. We did see a triple-digit down day that ended up being down about 20 points.
Yeah.
So it all kind of came back.
I love last hour comebacks.
Yeah. It was so there really wasn't a lot of movement to speak of in the market. It was kind of the opposite of last week, actually. There was the commodities had a decent week for once.
Thank goodness.
Oil rose. The energy sector did pretty well, and stocks fell. So it was kind of the opposite of what we saw last week, which is interesting. Kind of just reversed all the trends that had been going on for a little while. The VIX is still near all-time lows, just not a lot of fear out there.
That's
right now.
The volatility index, and it is truly at historical low points.
The internationally, there was a little more volatility, though. The Brazilian market rose 6%, and the Spanish market fell 3.6%, so all over
go,
the
go
place.
Figure.
Yeah, it's been a... The international indexes for a long time had been mirroring the U.S. indexes, and not so much anymore. Not a lot of... not a lot of correlation there.
Nope, not so much. The problems in Venezuela are really getting tense.
Yeah, that is true. They're really worried. There's some big weapons stores there, not stores, but supply houses, and they're real worried about those falling into the wrong hands now, apparently.
They could choose guns or butter. They chose guns, and now the people want butter.
Yeah, they sure do, and I don't blame them.
No, I don't either.
They have a right to it.
You know, it's getting a little political for a moment. It's just ridiculous, because this is the inevitable result of the socialism they've been practicing for years, and yet our political left is always trying to push further and further to socialism. It can't work.
Never.
No. It's mind-boggling to those of us of a certain age, with a certain amount of knowledge, I guess.
Yeah.
We're lucky in one respect. Venezuela, had they still been the powerhouse oil supplier that they were 10 years ago, in the absence of all the changes and improvements in our country, that would have been a real shock to the oil market.
Definitely.
They've been tapering off because of their own ineptitude for some time, and now it's barely a blip on the radar.
Yeah, it really won't affect things much in terms of supply.
If you're looking for the silver lining, I guess that would be it.
Retail took kind of a beating this week due to Macy's, Kohl's, and some other big names missing their earnings. It's kind of been the trend lately with big box or department store retailers getting crushed by stores that sell 100% online, like Amazon, or those with a big online presence, like Walmart, have been capturing most of that retail business. And it's pretty apparent in the report that people are still outspending money. If you look at this week's retail sales report, it actually missed expectations, coming in at 0.4% expected 0.6%.
But hold on. Yeah.
The February and March reports were actually revised up by 0.2% and 0.1%. So the overall report showed an increase of 0.7%, which is really strong. So
what bothers me is the inaccuracy of these numbers month after month after month. This one was really bad.
Yeah, the biggest growth area, this will be a shock to no one, was non-store retailing like Amazon. And the biggest shrinking category was department stores. Go figure.
Macy's is really struggling.
One interesting note, though, is that the beat rate for all retailers this season is actually higher than the beat rate for all companies.
Diminished expectations.
Well, also the misses have been getting really crushed on trading on the day they announced. They've been absolutely hammered. And as usual, I think the market has overreacted. Sentiment is so negative in the retail space that there's some really good bargains out there. If you like the contrarian trade, look for companies that get beat down on their earnings day. And a lot of times you can find a market overreaction, buy it at the low point, and make a few bucks on the way back up.
There are exchange-traded funds for retail. Unfortunately, they're going to be so heavily weighted down by Amazon that you'd have to look for one. If you wanted to play the downside for a comeback, you'd have to find one that excludes that.
Yeah, I was talking individual companies.
I don't know if you could sort of create your own buying these little things, but maybe somebody will think of that too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't searched it, but it just came to mind as being an interesting possibility.
These stores might be on their way out of business, but they're certainly not out of business yet, and it's going to be a long time before they fold up. I mean, look how long Sears lasted, and they've been in decline for decades.
And look at a company like Best Buy that was on its last breath.
Exactly.
And now
one good CEO. And
boom.
Yep.
And now they're going to come in on the aftermath of the H.H. Gregg bankruptcy, and they'll pick up some market share there. So there's room for optimism in the non-online retail segment, but we're certainly in a time of regrouping.
Definitely. And I think you might see some consolidation as well.
Yeah. And yeah, I think you're right. A lot of stores individually are going to close. There'll probably be some mergers. There'll be things like that going on. And as always happens following a period like this, what comes out of it will likely be stronger than what went into it.
Yeah, most likely.
We always loved it when I was in manufacturing. When things went downhill for long enough, you knew when the economy came back and things started perking up that the strong survived and became even stronger. So it's nothing I would spend a great deal of time worrying about right at the moment. After the break, we're going to have a special Mother's Day trivia question, and we'll get into some other things like what to do if you're going to inherit things. And Adam's got some car sales things and on. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And before we take the caller, I am going to ask the trivia question, which is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Give him a call, and you'll probably talk right to Ken. The trivia question, it's Mother's Day weekend. How much money do Americans spend every year on Mother's Day? And it's a number of millions, and it's greater than one. So I got the whole universe.
Did you say millions or billions?
I'm sorry, billions, yeah, with billions. A B. Greater than 1 billion. So all you got to do is guess by how much. Good morning, Captain Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Better than ever. How about you?
Just fine. I called for a couple of little things. One, I just got back from Jamaica. Huh? And one of the offshoots of the Venezuelan thing is that there's an agreement called Petrocaribe, where Venezuela has been supplying oil to quite a few Caribbean nations at favorable financing rates, over $40 a barrel. And they're pulling out of that. And for instance, it's going to cost Jamaica next year $27 million U.S. dollars to make up the shortfall in the favorable financing.
They're not going to need
that.
There's
a little bit of trepidation down there.
I can see it.
Yeah. And, of course, that was, what's his name, the first dictator?
Hugo Chavez.
Chavez, yeah. Chavez, you know, wanted to make everybody love him, so he really did a lot of good deals in the Petrocaribe. But it's got the Caribbean a little bit concerned, you know, because, thank God, oil is low.
So, no kidding.
But still, it's still real cash that has to be spent now that didn't have to be spent. Mm-hmm. And whereas there's a certain amount of growth going on now in the Caribbean, this could, you know, have an effect on it.
Yeah, short term especially.
Let you know about that. The other thing is two old chestnuts have showed up again. The first one is a new wrinkle on viaticals. They got a partial viatical now.
Oh, goody.
Where you can cash in half and keep the other half for when you die. And it's being advertised on the radio. A couple of big companies. And they'll even take a piece of your term if you're ready for that.
Yeah, I've seen that, too. I didn't realize that they were getting into the half thing and all that.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
You can have the money you need, but you still have coverage when you die and all that. I don't know. I knew quite a bit about viaticals there for a little while. It's just really a weird investment.
Well, what would you think of somebody who bought an investment that made them want you to die?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what these are.
I forget what it's called, something partners or other. They got a class action suit. They went belly up because their actuaries were so wrong about lifespan.
Well, they were betting on AIDS killing people within months, and we got better at it.
Yeah. Then the other big chestnut that just showed up is tax lien certificates.
Oh, they're all everywhere. Over the place.
Everywhere.
And boy, I'll tell you what, I wonder if people know what would really happen on the courthouse steps with that piece of paper in your hand.
Yeah. We wrote a blog about that a few weeks ago. If you want to check our website, anyone who's interested in finding out.
Trump wrote a book about this, and Warren Buffett says it's the greatest thing since clan beer, you know.
Well, and I heard one just, I told Sarah about it, I can't remember, yesterday or the day before. One of those commercials said, I don't think they use the word guarantee, but they use something like steady double-digit returns.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Of course.
Yeah. A government fixed rate or something is what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And that nothing could be further from the truth. That is just a blatant lie.
Yeah, well, it's you know what they say, liars can figure and figures can lie.
So. Never so true as in things like the tax liens, is it? And
anyway,
do you want to be the one
to be home
that
in St. Augustine?
Yeah, two things you talked about. One of them, you buy it and then you hope the other person dies. And the other one, you buy it and you hope the other person gets kicked out of their house and foreclosed on. Boy, that's real nice thought for a Saturday morning.
Yeah,
they
don't tell you that tax lien is actually in second position.
That's no, in fact, most people tell you it goes ahead of everything.
Nope.
But it doesn't go ahead of the government. It goes ahead of your mortgage holder, but it doesn't go ahead of the government.
That's right. Far
from guaranteed, because the people are allowed to dig themselves out of the hole, and you get nothing but your paltry little interest rate on it. That's not a guaranteed double-digit return the way I see it.
Nope. Yep. Anyway, it's good to be back home, and I thought
great.
I'd just bring up those couple of subjects because I've been hearing about them, and I thought, man, I wonder if people really know what this kind of BS this really
well,
is.
Well, I strongly hope that people are listening, and if they have any questions about it, they call the show or call our office, and we'll give them an earful.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Cap. Bye. Mr. Marshall, good morning.
Good morning, Beach Boys. How are y'all doing?
Never better. What's up with you today?
Good. Well, you know, there used to be an exercise tape called Sweating to the Oldies.
Yeah, sure. I remember.
Well, I've been sweating to the Beach Boys this morning, clearing underbrush.
Oh.
So I'm just adding to my list of how many things you can do on Saturday morning between 10 and 11 and still listen to the Beach Boys.
That's funny.
I like it.
That's a value.
I'd be sitting there listening to the radio, writing a check to the guy who was clearing out my underbrush.
Well, no, you know, it's one of those kind of things where there are some people who need some exercise, and I started figuring out, you know, I can do that pretty well. You know, and it's been good morning exercise several mornings in a row.
There's nothing wrong with that if your back can take it.
Getting it done.
Great.
What was the target number, Steve, that you were working on for end of year for the Dow?
Me, I'm looking at 22,000.
He thinks it'll hit it sometime during the year.
Yeah, it may not end at it, but I think sometime between now and December 31, you will see the Dow hit 22,000. I'm sticking with it.
Do you have your projection for the 10-year Treasury?
No, I don't, because I'm not at all convinced we're going to get three more increases in interest rates.
I think two, actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking two, although I have never seen a period of time where the data was so mixed in what's going on. You look at some of this data, and it's almost scary good. And then there's other things that are kind of falling apart. In fact, Adam's going to do a little piece on car sales, and they're okay for this past month, but we think there's a period of time coming that's going to be different than that. So if things like that fall off, it's going to very much influence the Fed. So I'm probably more confident in the Dow than I am in the interest rates at this point. So I think there's a lot of room for them to do either, if things get much better, maybe three or four increases, and if they don't, maybe one or two increases. And it's kind of up in the air. Looking at the jobs numbers and so on, it looks like things are growing like crazy, but you look at the GDP number for the first quarter, and it's almost zero.
Well, the Fed always errs on the side of caution when raising, so if there's any doubt, I would bet lower.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think they're going to stick to their plan?
Well, I have no idea what those people, because you've added politics more and more to it.
Yes. And Trump is no fan of Yellen's.
I think.
Yeah, it seems like to me there has been too many dichotomies. You know, we hear, for example, around my world in real estate, you hear people talking about how, oh, it's hot.
Yep.
And yet, I look at people who have houses up for sale that are priced reasonably that aren't even getting looked. You know, and I'm going, okay, well, if it was all that hot, why isn't somebody finding these?
I think there's a sweet spot in the pricing, and I think it ends at about $300,000.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, yeah. Marshall. You hear a lot of anecdotal stories on both sides, because the last two friends of mine that sold their houses both sold in a day.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it depends on where that is. And certainly, I mean, I look out here in Knoxville. I mean, the prices keep going up because the builders do. But when somebody puts a resale on the market, it's not keeping up with that.
Yeah, that's...
Where are we?
Not surprising in a community like Knoxville where you're competing against a new home. It makes it tougher to do a resale versus, say, at the beach where most things are older homes. That's your competition is resales. So I'm not surprised to hear that about Nocatee in particular.
Well, although I will say this, this last week I was killing some time waiting for my wife at the beach and drove around some places where I have not been since we moved. And I'm stunned. They actually start building these boxes on these teardown lots that have a little character to them.
Really?
For a long time, they were two-story boxes. They were big squares.
Yeah.
You know.
Some
and
classics.
They had a little front door with a little overhang.
Right. Yep.
It. Now it seems like, oh, they can't sell them for as much money, so they better put a little face on it. And I thought they were very attractive, some of them.
So, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
When the beaches lose their character, we're all in trouble.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for helping me through the struggles out here. I have to take back out there, even though it's a little bit of rain, helping me out, keep it cool.
Yeah. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia question? How many billions of dollars do Americans spend on Mother's Day?
Ooh. Number one, I will just say not enough. Okay.
We'll argue that off the air.
All righty. Y'all take care.
All right, Marshall. Have a good
Pretty
one.
Good. Yeah, I find the number fairly significant myself. You never know. All right, well, when we come back, Adam's going to tell you how to find us, and he's going to tell you a little bit about the projections for car sales coming up and the reasons for that. And if it isn't real good, then it is definitely going to impede the GDP growth a bit for the next couple of quarters. I think we're going to do okay despite that. But, of course, it's all predicated on getting Obamacare fixed and getting the tax code redone, because everything in this market right now is dependent on the tax cuts that better be coming. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our Mother's Day trivia question is still out there. How much money do Americans spend annually on Mother's Day? And according to some people, it's not enough.
Yeah, but it's also a big number.
It is definitely a big number. A quick reminder to everyone. Well, first off, this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794, because who likes mowing their own lawn? Not I. Anyway, I wanted to tell everybody, you've probably heard about it by now, and if not, you will. The giant cyber attack that's going around the world, especially bad in Russia and Ukraine and England, and it's hitting big, for the most part, big things like hospitals and shutting them down. It's a form of ransomware, which makes you pay money to get your files back, or in 3 days they self-destruct. And if you know how to do backups the right way, you can avoid it, but you can avoid even possibly getting it by doing the simplest of things. Microsoft issued a very stern warning to all people who are using Windows PCs to get your software up to date. And I checked this morning, and there was an update that had not automatically installed on my Windows machine. So I put that in and make sure your antivirus program is up to date. And Microsoft assures us that you will not have the problem. But also, if you don't have a backup system, get one. It could save your data, your pictures, and all that stuff. A lot of you probably remember when we had our tech gurus from Box Meta on for a couple of shows discussing this thing. When this thing settles down, I am going to ask them to come back and describe exactly what happened and exactly what most of us should be doing to prevent and what to do to recover if your preventative doesn't work. So that'll be coming up in the near future on a show. But get your Windows computers updated and do it now. It's important. Okay, Adam, why don't you tell them how to get hold of us if they would like to come out and have a meeting or just get a question answered, and then tell us a little bit about what you see, what the guru sees for the future of car sales.
Will do. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can always call our office. It's 685-1505. The best way to find us is online. It's www.vanweefinancial.com. And on our website, we do a number of things. One of them is a blog that we update usually twice a week. And we talk about a bunch of things that we talk about on the radio and some other stuff, too. So check back on that frequently. And if you want to book a meeting with us, you can do it right on our website. Just click the button that says book a meeting and schedule your free first hour consultation. And we hope to see you soon.
All right. Who's going to buy a new car?
Well, you know, we've been saying for a long time that we think that the economy is on really sound footing right now. But that doesn't mean there aren't weak spots. And auto sales has not been one of those. But I think we are heading into a period of weakness in auto sales. I don't think you're going to see the increases that we saw not that long ago. So auto sales plunged during the Great Recession to a record low of 9.05 million units in February of 2009. The historic average is closer to 15, 16 million units. Remember the government bailouts of Chrysler and GM in 2009? Well, that's why. They were down, I mean, almost half of what the average is. Not quite half, but substantially down during that time. And it mainly because when you enter a recession, what do people do? They cut things out of their budget. What's the easiest thing to cut? Major purchases. So you're going to extend the life of your car, maybe your appliances. You know, you're focused on paying the rent and getting food for your family. So
the people in AutoZone said, "What recession?" Because everybody was fixing their cars.
Oh yeah, exactly.
They hit a banner.
They did. So the government actually purchased shares of Chrysler, GM, and GMAC, which is Ally Financial, for $80.7 billion back in 2009, and later sold them for $70.5 billion, a net loss to taxpayers of about $10.2 billion. This is why the government is not in the investing business. It's not difficult to figure out why these things happen, but the net impact of this event is that the average age of the American fleet of cars on the road increases. So this has actually been increasing since 2002, when it was 9.6 years old, the average age of the American fleet. At the beginning of 2016, it increased to 11.6 years old. So that's quite a substantial increase during that time period.
And it's, to me, somewhat surprising.
Well, there's a number of reasons for it. One of them being that the quality of vehicles continues to improve. So
when I started driving back in the 60s, actually, they were trading cars every year. GM would come out with a new Chevy every year, look totally different than the year before. And they'd tool them up, and they'd last for a couple of years. And worst case, you got a car every 2 or 3 years. You couldn't keep it much longer than that if you wanted reliability.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's absolutely nothing to use a car for 8, 9, 10 years.
No, not at all. And that's why you're seeing longer financing on cars. They're extending from 5 to 6, 7 years on the financing. Well, also because they're more expensive, it keeps your payment lower.
Yeah, it's so, a little scary from a financial viewpoint, but it's justifiable.
If your asset's going to last that long.
Like a 30-year mortgage for your home, you know your home's going to be there after 30
exactly.
years. Exactly. And you insure against it not being there. You do the same thing with your car. So yep. If it's a cost of transportation that's necessary in your lifestyle, fine, take the loan.
So from 2009 until late 2015, vehicle sales climbed steadily outside of a brief spike from July to November of 2009 when sales briefly skyrocketed thanks to a program you may remember called Cash for Clunkers.
Yes, I do.
What a disaster.
What a disaster, that's right.
So vehicle sales went over 18 million in 2015 and have been hovering around 17 million ever since. So that means that for 2 years now, we've seen vehicle sales over 17 million, which is a really big number and above the historic average. At this point, total vehicle sales are near their long-term sustainable level. So they've come down in the last few months back down to that 15, 16 million range. Okay. And we've already seen a rebound past our long-term average in auto sales due to pent-up demand from the Great Recession. In typical American fashion, people have been replacing their cars at a faster rate than they have improved their housing situation post-recession, which is interesting. You would think that housing would have come back as well, and we're still not building at a rate that that is anywhere near our long-term average.
Well, ultimately, what's more important?
Your home.
Yes.
Yeah, but therefore, what do people value more?
Yeah.
Arguably, their car.
Yeah. Well, I predict a turnaround in the, or maybe I should just say a steady increase in the house market.
I think we're in builders, a very, very sustainable place in the housing market right now.
And due to several factors, our population rises steadily.
Yep, exactly.
150,000 a month or better on average. And that means more and more housing.
Right. However, one other thing to keep in mind when you're looking at auto sales is that consumer attitudes towards cars are changing in the millennial generation. Does anyone out there know a millennial? Did they ever, when did that person get their driver's license? Did they seem eager to get it? I have some family members that just didn't seem to care about getting their license when they turned 16.
I've heard of that, and it just baffles me.
Yeah, it's bizarre. To me, it was the ultimate freedom. Yep. But to them, their phones keep them constantly connected to their friends, and their cars are the essential tool to a, are not the essential tool to a social life like they were for us. So
their tank of gas is plugging the thing in every night.
Exactly. There's just not that same urgency to get in the car and get out of the house because you're connected to your friends 24/7. In addition, ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft make owning a car even less important. So there are number of reasons.
That was always true in the big cities where it was more of a hassle and an expense than it was worth. But
right, but now you can do it anywhere.
They're better.
Yeah. Exactly. So do I think that auto sales are going to plummet off a cliff? Absolutely not. I think that we're looking at a massive slowdown in the growth rate, though. The increased sales competition, which leads to lower price, better for car buyers. This will be true in both the new and used car market. So in summary, if you're thinking about buying a car, wait about 6 months and you may be able to get a better deal.
And better deals come in two packages, one a better price and the other one is free money.
Yeah, well, the interest rates on car loans are still really, really low. Yeah. So it is
my favorite number, zero.
That is available on new models, but in the used market, you won't find that.
Yeah, even that. Anything that's underpriced underneath the price of inflation, or the percentage of inflation, even the one that's reported, not the actual one, that makes a real good deal out of that.
Yeah.
And especially when you know you are getting these vehicles that last forever. My wife's car is 18 years old.
And my wife's car is 16 years old.
And those numbers were unheard of except for collectors years ago. And now there's hardly anything wrong with these things. In fact, if you look at them, they even look good.
Yeah,
it's
they're
quite
both
incredible.
They're actually both Lexuses, so maybe there's something to that.
Well, it certainly helps. The tolerance is a little better, that sort of thing. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to answer a question that I promised I would answer. I promised last week I would answer it this week, and I will. So don't go anywhere. We will be back right after a quick break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this Mother's Day weekend wrapping up a few things. Again, our Mother's Day trivia question is out there. How many billions of dollars do Americans spend every year on Mother's Day? Lines are open, by the way. 222-8255. Last week and on and off today and practically for, it seems, the whole 6 months since the election, which we just passed the 6 month mark since the election, we've spent a lot of time talking about taxes and the absolute need for tax reduction, simplification, whatever. And the investors everywhere, the ones that move markets, not little people like us, we could sell everything or buy everything we control in any way, shape, or form, and the market wouldn't even bother to yawn because it's not a big enough event to bother. But we're talking the big ones, the pension systems and the insurance companies and the really, really large outfits that are overall investors. They have built into this market over the past 6 months the absolute certainty of a tax cut. It better come or they're going to dismantle that. I could be proven wrong on my 22,000 Dow estimate. One simple way, if they don't get their act together and get some serious tax cuts made as per promise that we've all heard, But you all also know from my previous discussions that I have a bone to pick with a lot of the people who are trying to pass this ridiculous notion that you can do your taxes on a postcard. That is absolutely nuts. Are there a few people who could? Sure. Are they the ones that are paying taxes? No. What difference does it make if you have a single sheet of paper called a 1040 EZ or a postcard? Hardly anybody can use it anyway. There's only 13% of the taxpayers that can use the 1040 EZ. Why do they say this? Because it sounds so good. They know how much you struggle, how much you pay, how long these things are, how much you agonize, how many receipts you keep, how much planning you do, how much worrying you do when it gets into the first of the year and then it's sneaking up on April 15th and you haven't done it yet. We, as a country, agonize over this. And then what happens if you don't get it right? Well, there is one branch of government that holds the accused, that's you and me, to a higher burden of proof than any other branch of government. There's only one time when the accused actually has to prove that the accusation is wrong. The government is presumed to be right if it's the IRS. That is as un-American as anything I could ever imagine, and that's why the founders didn't put it in the Constitution. It had to sneak through the back door and grow like a little tiny cancer to get where it is now. The problem, as I've explained before, the problem with simplifying the tax code is that the tax code is not about the tax rate. I don't care if you go from 7 rates to 3, from 7 to 1, from 3 to 25. It makes no difference. You give me a calculator and one little chart and tell me how much money you made, and I'll tell you what your taxes are. Any idiot could do that. What you can't do is tell me how much taxable income you have. There is only one important calculation on most people's tax return, and that is the one that derives your taxable income. The 73,000 pages of the U.S. tax code are mostly devoted to what you have to pay tax on. It is a very complicated calculation. If you have your own business, if you have rental real estate, if you're an investor, anything like that that puts you out of the 13% who just get a W-2 and they pay their taxes, that's it. But if you have any other thing in your life that adds a little tiny bit of complexity, you can't use the 1040 one-page or the system of putting it on a postcard, because you have to go through intricate calculations that are derived at one thing, and that is to find your taxable income.
And if you just for give you a good example, you get a W-2. How many forms of income are listed on your W-2?
Forms of income, wages, salaries, and tips.
Yep, wages, salary, and comp. Mm-hmm. Social Security wages, yeah. And then Medicare wages and tips. So there's three different incomes listed on your W-2 from the government, and that's supposed to be the simple thing.
What if you get a 1099?
Exactly.
Then it gets even worse.
Or what if you have your own business and have to calculate profit or loss?
Yeah. What if you have a small business and have 4 or 5 employees? They think you're going to file on a postcard?
No way.
Your gross receipts? You're not going to pay on gross receipts. That system we tried with the medical device tax, that doesn't work very well. So the problem has been misdiagnosed by almost everybody you hear. And even guys who I respect a lot, like Steve Forbes, who wants the flat tax. Well, I love aspects of the flat tax. I don't think it's anywhere written, either in the Constitution or in the annals of common sense, where people who make more money should pay proportionately more than others. That does not make any sense to me. It violates everything I could possibly think of as equal treatment under the law. So, you wanted an answer? I got an answer. It's called the Fair Tax. If you haven't read the book, go on Amazon and get it. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how are you today?
Better than ever. How about you?
Well, as long as it's raining, I'm sprinkling, I'm fine.
We need more than that. I just wish it'd wait till after the tournament.
I know. Well, it's I live over in the Ortega area, and it's just sprinkling. It's been sprinkling for about a half hour over here. That's about it, though. It's not raining. Yeah. But anyway, what I called you about, what's the difference in these? I keep hearing about these investing in these commercial properties through this local company who the guy's trying to do due diligence on it. He's rated as a real high investment guru, but I don't know. Is this any different than a REIT, or is this
is that the rich uncle thing? Or
it sounds like a private REIT. I don't know. It's that's not local, though. Yeah. But it sounds a private REIT.
Well,
does
it
have a name?
DLP.
Oh,
Capital.
Okay.
I have not heard of that, but I will do some research and answer you next week.
Yeah, we'll report next week. But I'll tell you our feelings about private REITs. I would avoid them like the plague. I've never seen a great outcome from a private REIT. They lack transparency. They lack liquidity. They lack marketability. And I would not personally, as a fee-only CFP, I would not allow, or I would not suggest, I'm not a dictator, but I would not suggest to any of my clients that they ever get involved with something with so much risk and so little transparency. That's my problem with them. You can do the same thing by buying a publicly traded REIT that's fully transparent. And there are lots of good ones. So that's what I would do. There are people who don't understand how much risk they're taking, and there are promises made that can't be kept. Maybe they will turn out just fine. But I've seen them I've seen them belly flop too during bad times. I used to deal with a couple.
Yeah, I went through them in the 70s. They turned into nightmares.
Yes.
And the assets you were involved in looked strong.
Yep.
But the market just would not. It just wouldn't hold.
Pretty much took down the First Wisconsin Bank. I remember it well in the 70s. It was awful. But, and the same thing happened again in 07, 8, and 9, where the property values fell to the point where they couldn't handle it anymore. There was no demand. So to me, something that's instantly sellable, even if it's not fully liquid, liquidity implies you won't lose money, but if it's marketable, you can unload it, boom, like that. That means if you buy one that's publicly traded, then you can get rid of it. If you see things getting bad around you, run for the bushes. So I'd avoid it like the plague. That's my personal opinion. I think, Adam, you agree with me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'll do some more research on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll look into it. I appreciate the call. Happy Mother's Day to all of yours. And happy Mother's Day to Adam's mother and my wife. That's just one person.
Yes.
Having just lost my mother a few months ago, if you still have one, if you're fortunate enough, think about that.
And spend some of that $14 billion on her tomorrow. That's what the answer to the trivia is. $14 billion spent on Mother's Day.
Which, when you think about 330 million people in the country and $14 billion being spent on Mother's Day, there's some people going hog wild.
No kidding.
Of course, Marshall would rather have more. Hey, Mrs. Marshall, you're going to have a good day. Oh, folks, it's... Time's up. I'm sorry. We'll be back next week. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. We'll see you then.